Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome to Bulbacast Season 2, Episode 1, everyone. I am Nick, a.k.a. Winter. I am joined right now by Archaic, Bulbagarden Webmaster.
Hey, everyone.
And PPN Steve, owner of Pokemon Palace Network and a key Bulbagarden affiliate.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
It's been a long time since we've actually had a chance to do the Bulbacast episodes. Had a lot of scheduling problems in the last, how long is it now? 6 months?
At least.
We still haven't finished, fixed up all those scheduling errors, but certainly we're going to make a lot more of an effort in the coming year to actually get these episodes out, even if we can't always have all the cast members in them. Today we'd actually hope to have Pi and TSS with us as well, but unfortunately they weren't able to make it. Hopefully they should be with us next week. I guess that's about it. Should we just go on and get started then? Anything else we need to mention? All right then.
Okay, I guess we'll start off tonight by talking about the Diamond and Pearl anime. Myself, I've only watched the first 4 episodes of the series, and I haven't been very positive on it. So I was just curious to get your thoughts on it, Archaic.
Well, to be honest, I haven't had the chance to go over it as much as I would have liked to either. I still haven't seen the most recent episodes. With the contents to episodes, certainly those ones I've found to be a lot better than the preceding episodes. Up till then, I hadn't really been able to exactly get into the series. It honestly felt like a bunch of filler again. The new character, I suppose, I don't know. She's certainly more confident than May was, but there's not all that much to differentiate them at this point in time. She really needs to have a bit more time to make her own identity. It's interesting that Satoshi got a contest pass, though. That might imply that he's going to be doing a lot more contests this season.
I haven't been very positive on Hikari either. Any thoughts on Hikari, PPN? Your thoughts on Diamond and Pearl anime as well?
You know, I think she's, right now, and it's only, been 10, 12, 15 episodes or something like that.
Yeah, pretty close.
Somewhere around there. For what I've seen, and I've not watched them all yet, but the last few I saw, including a contest episode that I kind of really studied. Anyways, she seems to me like to be a clone of May right now. Like Archaic said, she doesn't have an identity yet.
Yeah. She's not exactly a clone of May as she was originally, but more a clone of how May was at Battle Frontier, already all confident in herself. And
exactly.
Yeah.
I saw her as just maybe a May wannabe. Mm. You know, that she needs to develop her own style, her own character. I think she will. I mean, because it's early in the Diamond and Pearl series. It just gave me that impression that she's still too much like May. When May came on the scene, we all had, we all liked Misty. Misty had her definite style. She was different. May came, everybody complained, but May grew, and everybody decided, oh, she's all right, I guess, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Hikari needs to have her chance at that, I still think. And I think she'll get it.
Yeah, I definitely think that once Hikari goes further in the episodes, I'd probably, maybe after Natane, who is the Hakutai City gym leader, I would say by then Hikari is going to gain a small following, and she'll have a club somewhere, and I guess that's about it. We're seeing Satoshi move further in the series, and he's about to face Hayata. Is that how you pronounce it?
Hayate.
All right. And I think it's probably going to be all right. Any thoughts on that?
From the preview, we know that he loses this first one, don't we?
It would seem so, yeah.
Has he actually lost a battle against the first gym leader ever besides his initial battle with Brock? I mean, he didn't lose against the first guy in Johto or Hoenn, did he?
I believe he did lose against Tsutsushi Roxanne the first time and then re-challenged her.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's really kind of interesting that I find, because going back, you know, to our previous season, he did so well against the Battle Frontier Brains. And now, it seems whenever he enters a new region, he automatically goes into, in a way, newbie mode.
I wondered about that.
You could say there's two real causes for that. On one side, you've got the fact that he's not using all his strongest Pokemon anymore. He's using these brand new ones that he's only just caught. And on the other side, he's gotten all overconfident because of his exploits in the previous season, and he makes careless errors.
Exactly. Anything you want to say on that, PPN?
No, I agree with what Arcaic said. Even though he still has his Pikachu, I don't see why it doesn't keep getting stronger and stronger. But aside from that, yeah, the new Pokemon and all that, I guess he has to start over in the new area. I don't even know why he does that. I mean, why the series does that, I should say. Well, I can understand why they do it, because, you know, it's a marketing thing. New game coming, new Pokemon generation, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
So, you know, but it kind of, you know, it bugs me. It's bugged me since way back when.
Since Johto, since et cetera.
At least Johto, yeah. That he didn't bring any of his good Pokemon, or couldn't, or they didn't let him, or however, you know, however it worked out. Although I do believe in Master Quest, he went back and got his Charizard and a couple other Pokemon for a major battle. But that's the only time I've actually seen that in the series. I wonder if they're going to do anything like that in Diamond and Pearl.
Okay. Any other final thoughts on the anime, Archaic?
I think it's going to need time to develop. They've really tried to do a start afresh with this, even going so far as to change the name of the series, which is pretty unusual in Japan. Usually they just stay with the same name for a series throughout its entire run. Obviously it's being aimed at new fans, so they're going to go back to basics and probably rehash a lot of the old themes we've seen in previous episodes. I'd assume it would, I don't know, get back to normal soon enough, but it's going to take a while to grow on everyone, I think.
One quick thing I want to bring up.
Sure.
What about Satoshi entering contests? Something new.
Yeah, absolutely.
We mentioned before, getting a contest pass means he can actually enter any contest, which certainly changes things.
Yes. I know you guys haven't seen all the recent episodes.
Nope, but do you have one thing to say?
Well, I was just going to say that I think there's some contesting involved. I don't want to spoil anything, but...
What, so he gets in a second contest already? Or is he actually training for contests?
You know, I think he's doing some training. I haven't watched them in depth. I've just kind of skipped through them. Okay. And my impression was he was doing his normal training, you know, for battle, but adding contest elements as well. Okay. Maybe we're going to see him do more contests.
Yeah, it did seem like Apom would probably become his primary contest Pokemon, the way he's been using it. I do wonder, though, if they are going to make Satoshi start entering contests, what's the point of giving him a companion character whose primary point is just doing contests anyway?
To satisfy the female audience.
Yeah, but if you're going to put in a token female, why does she have to be a contest character?
Maybe they figured that Mei did so well. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't have an answer for that myself.
I think, well, one thing I'll point out is in one of my game guides, they have Haruka or Mei featured in the contest section. I think by the Pokemon stereotypes, they include the female characters in contests and the male characters in the battles, which is very weird, but very interesting. And the other interesting thing I have to point out is that you notice in every contest episode, going back to Hoenn and now with Sinnoh, is the fact that it includes a lot of battle aspects. And if any of us have played, you know, the third gen games, and I've played, and Archaic and myself have both played the fourth gen, but only I've gone into contests.
I've done contests too.
Oh, okay, you have, my fault. You know, it includes a lot more of showing off of moves and dancing and dressing up, So it'd be interesting to see if down the line we see them incorporate that as opposed so
you're,
to...
You're saying contests are going to have a lot more importance in the gameplay overall?
To some degree, and also, is it going to be a more of an entertainment aspect as opposed to just showing off of moves and then just a regular conventional one-on-one battle?
Right.
Yeah, as in removing the contest battle and adding in things from the game such as the dance or the dress-up segment.
Indeed.
Uh-huh.
All right, any, I know I just said this, but any final comments just on the anime? Because I want to move on to another subject.
Well, the only other thing I could think of is, given that we've got Satoshi going in the contest, is there any chance that Hikari herself might actually decide to try her hand at going for a gym badge or two?
That would be nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe what'll happen is down the line, and I don't want to spoil anything, but maybe what'll happen is Satoshi will lose to one of the gym leaders, and Hikari will try herself at one of those gym battles and either win, be it by a squash victory or even just a fluke, and then Satoshi will win himself. It's very possible.
That'd be a great plot. Would like that.
Okay, that's it for the anime. Why don't we move on to the trading figure game, because you mentioned that, Archaic. So why don't you explain everything PBN and I and everyone else listening to this would want to know about the trading figure game.
Well, the trading figure game's been out in Australia for several months now, since October, I believe. It was the original test market. It's been out in Europe for not quite as long, and it's about to get released in Japan and in the US in the next couple of weeks. To be honest, the rules for it are a bit lacking. They obviously have been more targeted at the young kids. It's very easy to get into, at least. The figures themselves are superbly crafted. It's understandable why they're so expensive, which unfortunately is kind of a barrier for entry for most people to the game. It kind of seems kind of pointless to aim it at kids when they can't really afford to buy the starters or the boosters. They'd be like at least two times the cost of a similar trading card game booster or starter.
Okay, here's a question I have. Do both of you think, that the trading figure game is going to create a resurgence on the market, on eBay, on everything, for people selling these figures at just insane prices? Do you think we're going to see that? You know, say for a Mew figure, it'll be going for $150, whether it be American or Australian.
I wouldn't say that, but that's mainly because of the distribution problems I actually found with the figures. Back when I did the staffing for the Pokemon 10th anniversary tour here in Australia, I actually was staff of the two events here in Brisbane, I received for that like a whole case of Pokemon trading figures, which was basically 32 boosters. And with that, I was able to do some experiments on the actual distribution of the figures within those. Basically, I'm not sure if they've corrected this. It's certainly been told to PUSA what's wrong, but it tends to be that within one of the boxes of eight boosters, if you get a rare figure, it's more than likely that at least two or three of the other boosters in that box will have that same figure. In fact, for any figure that you get, it's likely that the other boosters in that box have that same figure. The full statistics are up. I think I put it in a Bulba News article originally. But basically, like in one of these boxes of eight boosters, each booster has two figures. I actually got six Charizards, I think it was.
Wow.
You didn't send me one?
Charizard's in one of the boosters. It's really one of the worst Pokemon to get in your... one of the starters. It's one of the worst to get in your boosters, unfortunately.
Well, but, I don't care. I still want the statue, the collector.
Yeah, well, I've heard...
Yeah,
well, I've heard a lot of stories of people getting, like, the special Crystal or Pearl subset figures, which are basically just repaints of the figures. They don't have any special abilities. Mm-hmm. But they've been getting four or five of those at once when they just bought a bunch of boosters.
Wow.
So it can be a bit ridiculous.
Sounds like they're not packaging them the way they should.
Yeah. We have established, though, that at least their distributions of rarity are correct. Pretty much, I think I found that the... well, there's four tiers of rarity. EX rare, rare, uncommon, and common. You could probably put the crystal and pearl subsets above the EX rare somewhere. But I found a pretty even distribution of those. You got much more commons than uncommons, than rares, than EX rares. So there's nothing screwed up there.
Okay.
All right. I want to try something new. Unless you are you, have you said everything you want to say about the trading figure game?
Well, there was one thing.
Okay,
I mean,
go ahead.
Obviously, the rules that are packaged with the game are fairly inadequate. It is a fairly basic game, the way they've given it to us. It's basically just get to the goal at your opponent's side of the field, going through his Pokemon and trying to knock them out. Doesn't actually use the the types of the figures whatsoever, so it doesn't matter if you're a water type or a fire type, even though that is actually put on the figures. They don't have evolutions either. There's obviously a lot of scope, though, for players making up their own house rules or creating their own play fields and so forth, but we haven't yet seen any sort of thing happen along those lines. I mean, in America, you've got the fake Pokemon cards and the scene that's grown up with people creating those, so I'm hoping that sort of thing will happen with the custom rules for the trading figure game once it gets released in the US, but until then, yeah, about the only reason to get the figures would be to collect them. But at least they are very nice figures and very collectible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly right. That's what I was thinking when I first saw them announced.
If anyone wants figures, by the way, I mean, I have a huge list up on the Mobile Garden forums of all my doubles. I really don't need a lot of these. I mean, I play together with my brother and we both use these figures, but for some of these things, I've got six or seven of the bloody things and I don't need that many. If you want Pikachus, Tricos, Corsola, what else have I got too much of? Marill, I've got way too many Marill. Sentret, Zangoose even, especially the Charizards for alligators, that's a thing. Heck, I've even got lots of Rattatas and they're rare. Yeah, well, if you want them, I mean, I'm selling them. I'm not giving them away, obviously. They're too expensive since they're like $15 Australian for a booster of two. That can't be right. That probably is right. Yeah, about that for a booster of two, so... Certainly, if anyone wants them, I'm more than willing to trade them or sell them.
Alright, and of course, very important, in case you don't know the address to the forums, it's bmgf.bulbagarden.net. We're going to try something new right now. Rather than go to a break, I'm just going to read a live commercial on the air for our main affiliate, or a key affiliate, Pokemon Palace Network. It's at PokemonPalace.net, or www.PokemonPalace.net, rather. It has all the game news, game information, cheats you're going to need, and also, very important, it has all the Bulbacast episodes archived, Season 1 and, right now, Season 2. So remember, that's www.PokemonPalace.net. And for our KX figures, if you want to make a business deal, remember, the forums are bmgf.bulbagarden.net. All right, I think the next thing we should be able to mention is Movie 9. When we stopped Bulbacast Season 1, Movie 9 was not yet out. But now it is out, is released, actually, is it released on DVD in Japan right now?
Yes.
I believe so, yeah. The way how Pocket Monsters actually got the video of it.
DVD.
I haven't actually had a chance to see that yet. In Australia, we've got this nasty thing with download limits, so I won't be seeing that for at least a few weeks.
We had like three people order the DVD. It came right around Christmas time.
Yeah, I don't have the... I haven't seen the movie myself, but I've heard a lot of good things about it. From the summaries and various synopsis and paragraphs that you've read. Anyone have any thoughts on Movie 9, Archaic?
It sounded pretty disappointing, to be honest. Just looking at the statistics for how many people have seen it, it's, well, just like any last movie of the generation that we've had before, much lower viewerships. I mean, I haven't actually seen it, so I don't know if it's good or not, but honestly, the plot as I read it didn't actually sound all that appealing to me. Probably better than the Rayquaza movie at the very least, though. That one was not very good. Actually, I guess it was the Deoxys movie, wasn't it? But I remember it more for Rayquaza.
Yeah, I didn't hear very good things about it either. Actually, there was a Bulma News article on it where it did pretty poorly, actually. What was it, behind the fourth or the fifth movie?
Something like that.
Yeah, far behind that. I mean, it did have a lot more difficult competition at the time, I believe. There was a Naruto movie, wasn't there? And what else was there? Was there that Full... No, the Fullmetal Alchemist movie was the previous year. There was a bunch of anime movies, in any case, all aimed at that kind of age group at the same time, and that would have really hurt its intake.
I think the Ranger aspect of it didn't help it much either.
No, it didn't. It
wasn't
kind of
really super popular. You know?
Was the Ranger guy even like a main character of that, or was he just a character of the day kind of thing? I mean, was he the main focus, pushing Satoshi and the other guys off to the side, or how did it work?
I didn't watch the whole thing. I couldn't get to it. I just, you know. Movie 8, I watched, five, six, eight times within the first week. This one, I couldn't even watch halfway without being distracted. You know what I'm saying? It didn't hold my attention long enough.
Okay.
No, I know that really it wasn't even close as good as the last one. It felt like a side story episode stretched out forever.
Okay, so it's not saying that you really would have wanted to see as a movie.
Yeah. Again, you know, the Ranger probably wasn't a good focus for it. I don't think they focused, you know, completely on the Ranger character. It was, again, you know, Ash and his gang saving the world. But, you know, I think the Ranger aspect of it and the weirdness of the Ranger style with the wand and all that didn't really appeal to the true fans.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the Ranger thing's really caught on with anyone. They really pushed it for a little while there before Diamond and Pearl, but now that that's come out, everyone's kind of forgotten about it.
Exactly. It had its, like, 10 minutes of fame, and it's like, well, what the heck's a Ranger?
Yeah. And we probably will see the same sort of thing with Mysterious Dungeon. It's not likely that that franchise will ever be revisited.
See, in this movie, I guess, is going to be the same thing, because it basically was a hour and change long commercial for Ranger.
If I recall correctly, the Ranger game was a modest success, but this just...
Modest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Modest. Nowhere near as well as a success as Diamond and Pearl have been.
Oh, no, not even close.
Alright, I think probably another topic we should cover briefly, even though we don't really know much about it, is movie 10. Now, I'm trying to pronounce this correctly because there's romanizations and everything. I prefer saying the full word, Dairuga versus Parakia.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on that, what it's going to be like?
I think it's going to feel a lot like the Serbi movie. You can't not have time travel and space travel kinds of themes in this movie. It's... Honestly, I don't really like how the movie's focused too much on the legendaries. It's going to feel very Deus Ex Machina, I think, with how overpowered these two legendaries are made out to be.
All right, and anything on it, PPN? No other thoughts?
Not really. I
think it's probably going to be decent. It's probably just going to be...
It'll be fine. The legendaries has always made a good movie... subject. You know, granted, they give them, you know, superpowers and something you'll never see in the anime itself or in any of the games. But, you know, they put a good story behind it. It might do well. Do you think it'll make theaters in Japan, though? That's my concern.
You think it'll go direct to DVD?
With the last movie's sales numbers, I'm having that sneaking suspicion, yeah.
Practically no movie goes direct to DVD in Japan. If they do, it's called an OVA. Unless they start calling it an OVA, it will go to theaters.
Okay. It'll never go to theaters here.
Probably wouldn't. But when was the last Pokemon movie that did go to theaters in America?
Oh, wow.
There were three showings of five. Five.
Okay. Anything else on that, or any...
I'd like to see some more trailers on it, actual film footage, instead of just, you know...
Picture. All right. So I guess why don't we close this out, because as I look here, it's going over 33 minutes.
The new Bubblecast season is coming. It'll be at least once a month and hopefully once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Look for it.
Exactly.
It will be done.
Indeed.
This is our, premiere episode?
Yep.
And we're just reintroducing ourselves, covering some basic happenings during our break, I guess.
Okay, and we're going to finish up with some last-minute plugs and notes. So we'll start with Archaic. Anything you want to plug?
Well, I did want to mention the Evolutions RPG that's currently going on the Bulb Garden forums. We actually started it back during the first Bulb Cast series, but it hasn't really got all that far yet. We did need a lot more players for that. It didn't really need much commitment from a player. I mean, we would like you to post once a day if it was possible. We'd need a lot more people actually posting that often to do that, though. But certainly the post didn't really need to be detailed, so it's not that hard to get into. And we'd be more than happy to explain the rules if anyone had any problems with those. I did have a few issues there initially. I don't know, just come in and take a look. It's a nice, mature RPG, certainly unlike anything I've ever seen done for Pokemon before, and it'd be nice to have a lot more people actually participating in it.
And PBN, anything you want to plug?
I have no plugs this time.
All right, we're going to try one last new thing here, and we're going to end the show with a question of the week. Now, PBN, Archaic, myself, Pi to some extent, which she'll be back, even TSS to some extent, which he'll be back very soon, possibly in part two, which we'll be doing tomorrow. I want to close out with one question, and this is our question of the week. The Battle Tower. Most of you have played third generation games, Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald. I've played Diamond and Pearl, and one of the trainer stars is, of course, getting 100 wins in Diamond and Pearl.
In a row?
Yeah, in a row. In Diamond and Pearl and in Ruby Sapphire, and of course in Emerald, you have to get all the gold badges in the Battle Frontier to get the trainer star on that card. So, your question of the week is, should the game makers, Nintendo Game Freak and Creatures, should they phase out the Battle Tower in the fifth generation?
I do think that they need to make it a lot easier for people to actually train their Pokemon once they get to a certain point in the game, like once they're about to face the Elite Four, or maybe after they've faced them, to actually do all those sorts of challenges, because, let's be honest, right now it takes absolutely ages to train a Pokemon all the way from level 1 to level
100.
Indeed.
And it would make that whole kind of end game thing, such as a Battle Tower, much more appealing than it is currently. Right now, once I've beaten the Elite Four, I probably won't be doing all that much more. Like, if there's more points to do with the storyline, sure, I'll go through with that. I mean, like in Gold, Silver, Crystal, we had going back to Kanto, doing all that, going and facing Red. That was fun. But going to a Battle Tower where I don't have any way to really train my Pokemon up to a sufficient level before that, I don't have the time to do that sort of thing. I've got a full-time
Indeed.
Job.
And I just think my problem is that the 100 battles are just very tedious, and while there is places such as Smogon, which you can visit smogon.com, another cheap plug, I just think it's very tedious, very difficult, and I think they should do other things, make maybe a long dungeon that's optional, that when you complete it, you get a trainer star for that. So that's your question of the week for tonight or today or wherever time zone you're in. And any last notes, Archaic? All right, I will close the show out by giving out our last-minute plugs. Once again, Bulbagarden Forums, bmgf.bulbagarden.net, and PokemonPalace.net, www.PokemonPalace.net. And if you are a competitive battler, or you need battling strategies and tips, I mean, right now they don't have anything for the fourth gen, but for third generation, go to www.smogon.com, and with that, we are out.
See you next week, everyone.